at the time when I started into business, and you know, anything, any questions I had, I just bounced them straight off him.
That's your hack. This is the CTBC podcast with me, Axel Starviking from thestarviking.com. Welcome to today's Coastal Towns Business Chamber podcast, brought to you today by the Coastal Towns Business Chamber here on the beautiful central coast of New South Wales. With me today is our special guest, Rosemary Rettermond, Bass Agent at Retro Bookkeeping. She specializes in small business with strengths in hospitality and trades, and she has professional partnerships with Xero, Reckon, and MYOB, maintaining a versatility to meet client requirements. You can find her at retrobookkeeping.com. And Rosemary is an awesome person who works with a few different companies and organizations around the central coast of New South Wales. Retro Bookkeeping has been running since the year 2000 and servicing the central coast for the last 15 years. Rosemary, welcome to the studio.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you too.
Awesome. So we're going to just dive right in. Okay. Give me your 60-second elevator pitch.
So about me and my business, I've been in business now since the beginning of 2000 with the inception of GST, being that I have in my background a lot of different kinds of careers. So I've worked in banks, I've worked in credit unions, insurance companies. At one stage, I was even a debt collector. I've worked for the post office. So considering those range of industries that I have worked in, it was perfect for getting into the bookkeeping industry. And at the time, it was the inception of GST, so it was like perfect timing. Now, I'm a sole trader. I have a website. I'm a registered BAS agent. I do keep records for my clients on various softwares. And it just means that I can give the best of what I can to each of my clients. I'm not limited to just one type of software, which means that I can expand my client list.
What inspired you to do the work that you're doing?
What inspired me? I think it was more the fact that I was in the right place at the right time. I've always been very good at admin, and at one stage there I had visions of becoming an accountant, but life got in the way. You know, I only did a number of the university courses. I was very good at the ones that I did, but it was enough to give me a footing at the time to really get started. Having knowledge of many industries and how different structures fit together, it was just a perfect way to really come into this particular type of business and go forward from there. I've always been good at admin, and it just shines through with everything that I do.
It's interesting seeing you talk about what you do, because you know, the listeners can't see what I'm seeing now, but you actually glow, like you're quite excited. I can see that you're really passionate about what you do. And, you know, it's so good hearing you say you realized you were good at admin. And I think that's the secret step that needs to happen for everybody. I think everyone has to have that moment where they go, oh my God, I'm good at this one thing. What can that become? What can that snowball into? Our next question is, tell me about one of your favorite memories linked to your work.
I think for me, it's more about the client, you know, establishing a rapport. You know, I have a client, like I'm based on the Central Coast, and I have a client who comes, visits me every quarter from Sydney, and he drives up religiously and we spend only a couple of hours together. And I have said to him a number of times, why don't you just get one that is local in your area? And he says, no, my accountant knows what you do. He likes what you do. I never, ever have an issue. It's always great. And he said, for me, it's time out from whatever else I'm doing, and I'm happy to do the drive. So, hey, tip your it.
That's actually really sweet. Like, that's actually beautiful. I know what that feels like. I was a school teacher back in South Africa for a while when I was younger. I did music and drama. And one of my favorite things was just when kids would come and see me outside of school or outside of class, they would just make their way to my classroom just for a hello and a chat. And there was sort of a handful of them over the years. And all of them eventually found me on Facebook. And I've had such a privilege to watch them grow and have children and get puppies and kittens and travel the world. And I still remember them showing me a tooth that had just come out. And you know, it's similar, like it's so lovely when appreciation is shown in those different ways. You know, the fact that this client comes all of their way, out of their way, just to come to you because they like what you do. And you know what? It's because you make them feel valued. And that is good customer service. You know, that's something you can't buy. It's something that has to just come naturally naturally from the service provider. And I can see you do that in heaps and spades. I know I've run into you at work once before in Gosford, and I just thought, of course you're in that business. You're amazing. Of course they have you there. So yeah, you're just a lovely person, I think, and it comes through.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. What does a typical work week look like for you?
Most weeks for me start off with doing payroll for several clients. I have one major client that I go to every single day, and then all of my other clients have to fit in around that. And that pretty much fills up my week. I will confess that I don't put in the big, 40 plus hour week, but every quarter you can guarantee for 3 weeks I'm working basically 7 days a week. So my hours are quite flexible. And more importantly, I like that because I have busy times, and then I also have slower times where I go, okay, perhaps I can take a few days away. That's what I like about being in business, is that it gives me the flexibility to be as busy or as chilled as I like.
Yeah, you've hit it right on the nail. That is very much what it is like when you're an entrepreneur. It comes with its own challenges, but your time really can be your own. But you also know you're going to have to put in the hard yards when you have to, because there's no one else. You have to really do it. What are your thoughts around networking?
Well, I find networking absolutely essential. My dad had this great adage: it's not what you know, it's who you know. And yes, you can know everything about your industry, but if people don't get to know who you are and you don't get that word of mouth recommendation, then sometimes you actually struggle. Now, I can tell you that I've been on the Central Coast community since 2005. And in that time, most of my years here have been spent networking in one forum or another. So I'm going to be one of these people who absolutely recommends networking as being an essential part of business.
Awesome. You're braver than me, doll. I shake in my knees when I have to do networking, and yet I can hold a microphone and stand up in front of people and just be completely comfortable.
and yet there am I. You give me a microphone and I'm like nervous as. However, having said that, I have done a lot of public speaking in my time for various topics and causes and things like that. The one good thing I am going to say is there are days when you really do need to get pushed out of your comfort zone. And I think that's one of the elements that we need to do in our life. We need to just take that extra step. You're never going to know what's beyond there unless you actually have a crack and have a go.
Absolutely spot on once again. So we've met at the CTBC. That's how I know you. So we're going to just talk about the Coastal Towns Business Chamber, because I know you're involved with that as well. So what is the role that you play within the Coastal Towns Business Chamber?
I was invited to become the treasurer not long after the inception of the Coastal Towns Business Chamber. Funnily enough, I was the treasurer of the Tookley Chamber of Commerce way back in the early 2000s, and that was a role that I'd held for a number of years. I also have found that in my sporting days, I was always relegated into the treasurer role. So, with my background in bookkeeping, it's a natural progression to take that on. And I find it's essential for an organisation to keep good records. You know when people have attended, you know when they haven't. You know what you can and can't do, for instance. And, it's an essential part of life.
Yeah, that's it. And I think that, again, throwing back to where you said you realised you're good at admin, I think the people around you often know what you're good at if they have a chance to get to know you. And sometimes they can be the source of that aha moment where they're like, hey, you're actually really good at XYZ, and then you go, wait, am I? Yeah. So that's another benefit of really kind of getting out there and meeting people and talking to them, even though it makes my skin crawl because I'm so shy. It's weird. I'm so shy, and yet I was in theatre for most of my life. Now having my therapy clinic, I love having sort of one person at a time coming through, spending time with them, listening to what's going on in their lives, and then off they go, and I'm like, I can go back to my six cats and just sit in my office.
Six cats. Oh my,
I was just laughing this morning because have six cats, it's like running a military zone. You have to be very organized because otherwise it's going to get gross very quickly. So there is so much vacuuming, sweeping, cleaning, scooping and pooping, you cannot believe. But we run a very tight ship, so that the house is clean. Yeah, can't imagine not having them there. They're like my downtime. I get to cuddle them whenever I need to, and so good. So good. All right, so now enough about the cats, because obviously I'm a cat person. So number 7, how can people or prospective clients find you?
Okay, so we live in a digital world. They can Google me up. Now, I will also mention that the name Retro Bookkeeping, so Retro comes actually from my name, my last name and my first name. So I've taken the first three letters of my last name, the first two letters of my first name, and I've pushed them together to get Retro Bookkeeping. Now, people sort of say to me, oh, does that mean old-fashioned? And I'm like, well, no, it means revitalized, you know. But aside from that, they can find me on Google. I've tried all different avenues of advertising. These days, I've sort of like pulled it back because the word of mouth really does work. And I have a, you know, anybody who puts in bookkeeping in my area, my name automatically pops up.
So what advice do you have for someone looking to really start their own business now? Is there any advice you could share for modern people, like right now, such a competitive environment and such a strange social media environment at the moment too? How do you get going?
The first thing is that whatever business they're going to go into, the number one thing for me is they have to be good at what they do. So if they are a baker, they need to be a talented baker, because then it's all about the product. If you're in a service industry, it's all about how you deal with people. So those are the essential first things. Then they have to make up their mind what kind of structure they want to have, whether they want to be a sole trader, whether they want to be a family partnership, or whether they want to be a company. They need to decide. They need to, of course, get an ABN. They have to do all the compliance things of having an ABN and a registered business name. But then they have to decide whether they're going to be registered for GST. They need to decide the size of their business, whether they need employees or not, and to register for those compliance issues. So starting a business means starting with the tin tacks and working your way up, making, you know, decisions as you go. You don't have to make every decision immediately, but the first thing too is planning. If you have a plan, and the good thing about having a plan is that you can adjust it as you go. I know that these days there's a lot of emphasis on a business plan. Sometimes you find whatever you find on the internet can look really overwhelming. But if you just start off with the essentials from there, you can always review the plan as you go. You can find out what works, you can find out what doesn't work, you tweak it and you make it work.
I'm sort of right on the cusp of getting my own hypnotherapy school accredited. Writing the diploma, researching it, and formulating everything has been a full-time job for about a year now. It's quite overwhelming. I mean, it's almost 400 pages long, the full student guide. Like, it's just been a lot of work. And I can completely feel and empathize with people just starting something new, because there is that sense of overwhelm. And you know, you look at the competitors and they've been doing this stuff for 20 years and they've just got it all together and all right. They might have all the funding that you just don't have, you know. I'm living that right now and sort of going, all right, every day I'm doing that pep talk. Everything you have to offer is enough. It's enough. It's good enough. And, you know, the world needs to have a diaspora of choices. You know, if we only had three or four choices, it would be such a boring, limited world. So people who are thinking of, you know, creating something new or stepping into a new area, I reckon go for it. Just do your research, like you've said, come up with your plan. My biggest tip of all time is just to-do lists. Just have a book and just do to-do lists until you run out of pages and buy a new book, because that is how you will be successful. It's been proven. The richest people in the world all say they do to-do lists. That's how they started. That's how they're finishing. So that's my little 2 cents worth. Be in control of what you're doing. Make good decisions. Don't try and skip corners, because you will always get caught out. Just make sure you're above board. What is your opinion when it comes to competition and business?
Our world is diverse. What's right for you and what, you know, what you attract is not necessarily going to be right for Joe Blogs next door. He would have a different set of things that are important to him. So it's our differences that make a world. And so I'm going to say, you know, competition is absolutely healthy. I think it's actually essential, because it keeps everyone on track. It builds being dynamic, it creates innovation. So imagine if we didn't have a competitive world, how boring everything would be. And there would be no innovation, because there wouldn't be any requirement or need to actually progress forward. We'd actually stagnate as a society, I would feel.
It's an interesting point of view. I agree. Very interesting. All right. So now is question number 9, and that is name your hack. Name a secret hack that you wish you had known when you started your business? Or maybe just a hack, as in a secret hack that you could offer to a young person aspiring in business?
It really is essential to have a mentor, someone that you can talk to, someone that you can confide in. I was lucky when I started business. At the time, I was working for an accountancy firm, and I was able to bounce ideas off their principal accountant every day if I chose. He was great because he gave well-founded information to me. He wasn't biased in any way. He was very encouraging. He would also, you know, tell me the different pitfalls. We'd laugh over it and then we'd get over it and move on. So I sort of feel as though if you find a mentor that you can really relate to, that isn't only going to give you one point of view. Like, the last thing you want is a yes person. You don't want lip service. You want somebody who is a critical thinker, can see the good things and can see the bad things. So the ups, the downs, the pitfalls, the best policy moving forward. So yes, I feel as though a well-rounded analytical mentor is a great thing to get. But the other thing I was thinking of too is to become a member of a professional association in your industry. I know that for me, it has been invaluable whenever I have questions, because our world is constantly changing and they are the people who will always be staying up to date, and you can always bounce things from them.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Being accredited, joining professional associations, it's a way to almost sharpen your knife, because you can become complacent. You can become really comfortable in your role. But if you're constantly being challenged or seeing what others are doing, it does actually keep you on your toes in such a good way. Very, very important thing, I think. Very, very, very wise hack that you've shared with us today. All right. So now I've got a fun question for you. If you had three wishes, what would they be and why?
If I had my time over again, I feel as though I would have qualified as an accountant a whole lot earlier in my life, which would have completely changed all of my opportunities. But you're never going to know that until you have lived. Wish number two, probably have more parties. And probably the next thing, learn how to make cocktails better earlier. Because I do like to mix up my own cocktails.
I absolutely love that. I love it.
It's one of my favourites.
You know what? When you've been crunching numbers all week, you're allowed to have some cocktails, I think. Oh, God. All right. So now the last thing we're going to talk about today is just advice. Okay. So the art of good bookkeeping. This is advice for a person who sort of hasn't really got their stuff together, maybe completely, and they're still sort of collecting till slips and they're not quite sure where to go. What is your advice? Should they keep going on their own? Do they need to reach out and find someone?
I'm going to say that the days of presenting the shoebox full of receipts is over. It is well and truly over. I can tell you that I have one requirement from my clients, and that is when you present me with all of these tax invoices and the paperwork, number one, it must be flat. If possible, minimum in month order. Date order would be great, but if it's not, at least flat, I can go from there. So that's number one. But look, record keeping is essential. And, you know, everyone is different. You know, like, I've got a lady coming in tomorrow and she's not necessarily computer literate. So I'm going to set her up with an old-fashioned cash book, which she knows how to do because she's a people person. She's not a numbers person. But I can set things up for her whereby she can at least create the record. And then thereafter, it's easy to actually take that up into, for instance, an Excel spreadsheet. Now, I have Excel spreadsheets for those who are conversant with Excel and who do not want to pay the subscription fees for software. But if they can get used to it, and of course we're in this digital world, you know, we have apps on our phone, and you know, whether it be, you know, the top four software providers, they all are, you know, on the phone, up onto your computer. I mean, it comes down to how easy or how complicated does the client want their record keeping to be. Are they registered for GST? Are they not registered for GST? So look, the art of good bookkeeping is just keep everything, record everything. And if it's wrong, we fix it. And I would also say for those who are super, super busy, get a bookkeeper. Don't expect that you can do it on your own and then you find at tax time, oh, suddenly I can't do it. Now, getting an accountant in a firm, public firm, to do your bookkeeping is just crazy because the fees are off the charts. You get a registered bookkeeper, you're probably paying half those fees instead. So you're actually making a saving by having a really good bookkeeper. And a really good bookkeeper has efficient time management. Because you agonize over the transaction, your bookkeeper is not going to do that. They're just going to record it and move on to the next one. And you'll need to also look for a registered BAS agent in a bookkeeper. They have qualifications behind them and they need to keep those current. Every 2 years, we go through a review process. So, that's my advice.
I think that's great advice, as per usual. This has been the theme of the day. Good advice from Rosemary Ettenmond from Retro Bookkeeping. So I just want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's amazing. And it's a real pleasure having you here with us. And yeah, just wishing you all the best with your business and hope that, you know, you have an amazing year and that you manage to get everything done you need to get done and you have all those great cocktails lining up for you whenever you want them.
Thank you so much, Axel.
Thank you.
Fabulous experience, and I will admit I was extremely nervous, but I seem to have overcome all that nervousness because you've just made this experience so easy, so relaxing and not overwhelming at all. So thank you very much for putting me through this process.
It has been an absolute pleasure, and I will see you soon at a Coastal Town Business Chamber meeting. Very exciting stuff happening this year with CTBC. So I will see you there. Maybe we can have a cocktail.
Yeah, fabulous.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks for listening today. And I hope that you gained some insight or encouragement from today's session. Please reach out to ctbc.org.au to find out about joining the chamber. The more business owners we have, the more we can effectively advocate for change with government. Change that positively affects all businesses, large, small, and micro, on the central coast of New South Wales. I'm your friendly neighbourhood hypnotherapist from thestarviking.com, and I hope that you enjoyed our podcast today. Take care, guys. Until next time.